Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Over to Philip.
Andre, thank you for your introduction, and thank you for your welcome again today. It's lovely to be with you last week. As I said then, if you weren't then, I run a church up in North London, and we started off meeting in a pub. So standing, leaning on a bar, speaking from the Bible, that's very home territory for me. And we've rearranged it so I feel more comfortable, I see, this week. So thank you very much for doing that. Do keep the little sheet that you've got open in front of you, particularly at those verses that we're looking at. We're just looking at this little section in Proverbs 22 to 24, entitled 30 Sayings of the Wise. And having a look at what Proverbs had to say on wisdom, that was last week. Wealth this week. I'm away in Kenya next week, so it won't be me but Alfie with you next week. And then we're looking at Proverbs on wine and alcohol in 2 weeks' time. But it's Proverbs on wealth this week. And I guess it feels a little bit like Coles to Newcastle this afternoon. Here am I coming to the financial centre, London, of this great country of ours, and coming, I guess, where you'd find the highest concentration of financial expertise here in the City of London. And here am I coming supposedly to offer wisdom on wealth. So why on earth should you listen to me? Well, I'm not in any way apologetic, I think, for coming this afternoon and doing that. We're not going to turn to the pink pages of the Financial Times, but we are going to turn to the oft-ignored and yet eternally relevant pages of the Scriptures, to the Bible, to God's Word, because we believe that God has something to say about every area of life, because He created the world, and so He'll have something to say about wealth and wealth creation, how we use it, why we gain it. And so let's turn to our passages this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 4 and 5 to begin with. Here's the first thing I wanted to look at. A warning against wearing yourself out. It says there, doesn't it, in verse 4, part A of the verse. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Now, you need to know that Proverbs is not against wealth. In fact, as you go through Proverbs, you'll see that Proverbs is encouraging people to use wealth wisely. In fact, Proverbs says that wealth has many benefits attached to it. Wealth brings friends. Wealth brings the ability to make choices. Wealth brings the ability to support others. Wealth is a good thing. It's not a negative thing in the book of Proverbs. So I'm not speaking against wealth here. And nor is Proverbs against diligence. Not the due diligence you might have to go through if you're involved in purchasing, but just diligence in terms of appropriate use of the gifts that God has given us, working hard for the sake of an employer who pays us money to do so. It's not against diligence either. In fact, Proverbs tells us that diligence brings wealth. So Proverbs isn't against wealth and it's not against diligence, but it is here warning us about wearing ourselves out to get rich. In other words, it's against the pursuit of wealth that involves exhaustion and, if you want, the neglect of everything else apart from the pursuit of getting rich or getting wealthy. I was doing some research on this over the last week, and I read the account of a minister who described a man who came to him clearly nervous, clearly agitated, clearly under some pressure. And as he sat him down, it all began to tumble out. He said, "Well, I had a wife, I had a family, I had a good life, I had so many things going for me, but money was never enough. And so I chased after it. I worked when I didn't need to work and I went on working. I travelled when I didn't need to travel and I kept on travelling. I was always the one who'd be prepared to do the extra meeting that no one else would be prepared to do. I chased it. And now, well, his marriage had broken up. He only saw his family and his children from time to time at the weekends. His financial security had gone. He said his life was a mess, and he described his life as being like a hole inside that I can't begin to describe or explain to you. See, there is the difference between someone who was working diligently and appropriately as someone who claims to be a disciple of Christ and someone who was pursuing wealth simply as the only thing that was worth getting, exhausting himself, wearing himself out to get rich. And that's the warning to us. Do we know the dividing line between diligence and wearing ourselves out to get wealth? Are we clear about the how we're to go about the jobs that we have? And are we clear about the why we're doing them as well? Because this man was messed up on both. Don't wear yourselves out to get rich. There may be other things that the Bible encourages us to wear ourselves out doing. But getting rich is not one of them. Notice what he goes on to say. It's my second warning, if you want. It's a caution on cleverness. Have a look at chapter 23 and the second half there. Do not trust your own cleverness. Now, if you look at a variety of translations, it also speaks about here, in a way, exercise restraint in this area. In other words, we spoke last week about another proverb that says, lean not on your own understanding. This proverb seems to be encouraging that. It says, don't get above yourself in thinking you know what's going to be best for you. And particularly in this area of wealth, be careful about thinking that you know better than everybody else. You see, don't think that your cleverness will secure wealth and gain wealth better than anyone else that you see around you or anyone else that you've read about in the past. Don't think that they, the historical figures, the banks perhaps, lending in ways that have proved unhealthy. Those working out clever derivative schemes that seemed so bright at the time that have seemed so full of holes with the benefits of hindsight. Don't divide the world into they, who aren't as bright as you, and you, on the other hand, who have a cunning plan. Sadly, which will probably, if history is right, be more like Baldrick's than the one that you hope. Don't trust in your own cleverness. This is an area where we think often that we will know the angle that will secure wealth and get rich better than anyone else. We'll think we're clever enough. We'll think that our scheme will work when so many didn't. And Proverbs says, will you just exercise restraint? Will you be wise enough not to think too much of yourself? Will you be careful not to exhaust yourself pursuing wealth? Now, all the Ponzi schemes, everyone thought that they worked out a way of making them work and making them deliver, not just in the short term, but the long term, but they never do. And some of you here may be working yourselves to the bone, wearing yourself out. Maybe not to get rich, maybe just to secure a deposit on a house, maybe. But if you're wearing yourself out doing it, Proverbs says, be careful. Or you may be sitting on the back of a good degree thinking, I'm the one who's going to come into the city and I'm going to work out how to get these things, to get my life sorted out, to give it a good foundation, to find the security that no one else has found, and I'll do it through my cleverness. Proverbs says, be careful. Whether you're wearing yourself out or thinking too much of yourself, be careful in this area of wealth and riches. Why does he say it? Well, have a look at the second half of the verse there. Because wealth is elusive. Cast but a glance at riches and they're gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Proverbs uses vivid pictures to get across the message for us. Because we are so full of our own rationalisation about why what we're doing is right that we so often can't see the wood for the trees. Well, here is Proverbs' version of the wood for the trees. It is, money will sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. You see, why extend everything, says Proverbs, to get something that offers security and yet is so difficult to secure? You see, we pursue wealth, don't we, so often because we want the security of being able to buy what we want, to have the house that we want. It seems to offer security, but Proverbs says it's so difficult to secure. Robert Maxwell, I think, was listed as one of the wealthiest men in the world the year his empire fell apart. The editor of the newspaper that had put that article in said we forgot to consider his debts. He thought he had it secure, didn't he? And it just went like that. Money's like that. I don't know how many other pictures I can come up with. We have a dog. He's sensible in some ways, but he's completely scatty in others. You put him in a bunch of pigeons on Hampstead Heath or something, he will pursue pigeons till the cows come home. But he cannot secure pigeons because they sprout wings and they fly away. And yet he continues to pursue them. And we laugh at him. And the proverb, the question that Proverbs is asking is God saying, do you not see what you're doing? You're going after that which you think will bring security, but you can't secure it. There was a pension thing of a few years ago, wasn't it? So many people have put their pensions in one particular firm and then they didn't deliver. And the legal cases have gone on for years because people's future was not as secure as they hoped it would be. The council just up the road from us put money into one of the Icelandic banks, thinking that was just the place for its residents' money. They couldn't secure it. The bank looked secure, but it wasn't. It sprouted wings and it flew away. There'll be some of us that have bought property that may have been rendered valueless by some HS2 program, or we've seen it recently, just the waves washing away the foundations of houses near the sea, haven't we? There are all sorts of ways in which the wealth that we think is secure can just sprout wings and fly away. And we cannot predict them all, and we cannot secure it. And Proverbs says, are we wise to that? Or are we going around like my dog on the heath, consistently pursuing that which will always sprout wings and fly away, wearing ourselves out, thinking of ourselves perhaps as too clever to do it? Well, what's the advice that Proverbs gives? Well, just turn a few verses on. It's there on your sheet. Proverbs 23 and verses 22 and 23. Well, the Proverbs comes back and says, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she's old. Buy the truth, don't sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. So listen is the first thing I want us to see here. We may say, I know this, and we may well have heard it before. But have you heard it and learnt it? In other words, has this wisdom gone from something that is out there in the ether to something that changes the choices that you make day by day? In other words, if I asked to spend a week with you, following you around from breakfast through to when you go to bed at night, at home and at work, and I saw the choices that you make, the aspirations that you have, the time that you commit to various activities, would I say that you had learnt the wisdom of this proverb? Or would I say that you need to learn the wisdom of this proverb? See, it's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to do. And Proverbs encourages us to listen. And listen, it says here, doesn't it, to your father and your mother. Don't ignore your father who gave you life. Despise your mother when she's old. It's so tempting to think, well, we know better than those who've gone before. It's so tempting to think that, yeah, I've heard it, but I've worked out a way around it. I, as the Bible says, can love God and money. The Bible says you can't. It doesn't say you might like to, or it's a good idea to. It says you can't do both. Are we doing both and, or either or? What would I see if I spent a week with you? You see, Proverbs says ultimately we are to value what has true and ultimate value. Buy the truth, don't sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. See, there's a difference there, isn't there, between gaining wealth just for its own sake, or perhaps even trading in commodities, not because of what that commodity can do, but simply because of the increased value I might generate through it. In other words, wealth is the be-all and end-all of everything. Or here, I'm encouraged to use the wealth that I may well have gained with diligence, but not for that sort of purpose, just the pursuit of more wealth, but rather for truth and wisdom and instruction and insight. Somebody asked me last week, how do you read Proverbs? It seems so difficult. If you go to the book of Proverbs, it's a whole series of sort of sets of two verses and then moving on to another theme. How do you read Proverbs? Well, the thing is with Proverbs is you don't read it like a sort of 1001 problems I may have and how to solve them. In other words, whenever I get a problem, I go to Proverbs, look it up, get the solution, leave Proverbs behind, go and put it into action. Proverbs shapes the way we think. It gives us wisdom, not foolishness. And the way it shapes it is patiently over time. In other words, I can't just go to it as a resource like Wikipedia. I need to read it and let it sink into my world. Historically, people have, if they've got a Bible reading plan, which they do daily, they've tried to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. There are 31 chapters. It fits neatly within the month. And that way, as you keep on coming back to the Proverbs, they start becoming part of your bloodstream, part of the way you think. And as God's Spirit works through His Word, it gives you wisdom. Are we listening to Proverbs, indeed to God's Word, like that? Asking God for speak, to give us His wisdom. That's what Proverbs encourages, you see. The owning of it does not bring security. We are to pursue that which does, and that is wisdom, instruction, insight, and truth. You see, we're not to pore over the pink pages of the Financial Times. That's not where we're to spend most of our time. It may be in the dusty pages of the Bible that's on a shelf in your home that more benefit is to be found. And that's what Proverbs is encouraging us to do. And notice that Jesus himself echoes what Proverbs say. This is not Old Testament wisdom that Jesus supersedes. Jesus, when he talks about wealth, says this in Matthew 6. Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. Not for him wings like an eagle, its moths and vermin destroy, thieves break in and steal. The Bible littered with illustrations about the insecurity of wealth. I guess because we need so many different ways of getting our head round it so that we actually take it seriously. He echoes that elusiveness. And Paul, in the verse that I've printed there, you might like to read it later, 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, says of the New Testament pastor Timothy that this is what he's to do. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. Notice he's not saying don't be wealthy, but he's saying don't be arrogant. Don't think wealth is the solution. And don't put your hope in wealth. Don't make wealth your security, because it isn't secure. It flies away like the eagle. And the eagle is a bird, isn't it, that goes right up into the sky beyond reach. You can hardly see it when it's circling at full height. That's the picture. Now Paul goes on to say, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. The Proverbs is saying, don't pursue and exhaust yourself on that which looks as if it will provide security, but won't actually deliver any security, either for this world or the next. In a way, that's where I want to finish this afternoon, because that's where Jesus takes this in the classic passage where he talks about what it will mean to follow him. He says this, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? See, Jesus points out that wisdom, riches may be the wealthy man's fortress, but they are no defense against the final judgments of Christ. Jesus goes on and finishes that last passage in this way. He says, if anyone's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory. It's interesting that Jesus' solution to relying on wealth is listening, isn't it? Don't be ashamed of me and my words. Will you listen to what I say about what is valuable, about what counts, about what deserves your energies and your attention? And will you avoid the foolishness of either pursuing wealth and exhausting yourself for its security, or thinking perhaps that you don't have to work hard because you're clever enough to find wealth and it provides security? He said, it's the fool who thinks like that. Let me pray and ask that God might help us not to be foolish. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks into the world that you've created. That you speak because you long for us to understand how best to live in it, how to flourish in it for now, but also how to endure for eternity. And we pray that you would humble us, humble us whether we are proud of our efforts and exertions, whether we're proud of our intellect and achievement. But humble us that we might listen to your words and to your advice, that we might turn and find our security not in material, not in wealth, which promises so much but delivers so little, but instead in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died, that we might know who we truly are and find an eternal future in him. Keep us from this foolishness, we pray, for Jesus.